I said, think of that song. That song they sing, I've given him a million reasons to walk away, and he ain't never done it. Give him a million reasons to throw me away, and he ain't never done it. I'm glad for the Lord this morning. All right, help yourself. We're going to continue right on. I know the holiday, people may expect holiday messages, but that ain't going to happen this morning anyway. We want to continue right on with the heart of the home. We're looking at a home. Been preaching on a home the last several weeks in this series, and we have looked about stopping, but the Lord keeps adding things, so we're going to continue on until we finish what the Lord has for us. I believe it's evident. Go ahead, Kathy. I'm sorry. Treatments and got to meet a bunch of people, witnessed a bunch of people, got to pray with some people, had the best nurses I believe I've ever had take care of me. Tuesday was my birthday. I finished my treatments on my birthday. They sung happy birthday to me and went and got me a piece of cake out of the cafeteria and celebrated with me as I rung the bell to finish my cancer treatments. So it was all a positive experience. And people say, well, how in the world can cancer treatments be positive? Well, I'm here. That's pretty positive, man. I'm not. I may be eat up with ignorance, but I'm not eat up with cancer anyway. So there's a lot of things I can praise the Lord for. But He's faithful. I love that song. He's faithful to me. Everyone's been so kind to me and Cheryl. You've helped us. You've given us gifts and cards and prayers, and we do appreciate you so much. I tried to send everybody. If I got your phone number, I tried to send you a text this morning. About the need of the church. If you didn't get one, I need your phone number, okay? That's why you didn't get one. All right, I tried to go down, took time, and as I sat there this morning and I prayed for you, as I sent the text, it wasn't a group text. I go through the names and I put it to each one, and I want you to understand that, I love you and I pray for you and I need you. I need the church. I need the church. Now I love to come to church. I enjoy coming to church. I love to sing. I love to hear singing. I love to preach. I love to hear preaching. I love to teach. I love to hear teaching. I love to pray. I love to hear praying. I love to testify. I love to hear testifying. I need the church. I need the fellowship. I need the laughter. I need the sarcasm. Okay? I do. I need it. I need it. That's how I get through. I need the laughter. I need the tears. I need the handshakes. I need the hug. I need to see you. You're important to me. All right? Your life's important to me. Not just, you're not a number to me. Although I count you, you're not a number. You're a person, and I miss you when you're not here. And I do know when you're not here. I do know that when you're not here. But I also know when you're here. You don't have to say a word, but I know when you're here this morning. And you are important. You're so important that that's why I preach the way I preach to you. I try to spend enough time with God to try to find out what is going to help us and what we need, not what we want to hear. We've had too many years of what we want to hear. We have that in life. We have that everywhere we go, but we need to hear what God wants us to hear. We have problems. Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems at home. We have problems at home. We have problems at school. We got problems at church. We got problems with our country. I mean, we just got problems. Job says that the man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And there's troubles everywhere. That's what the Bible says. And having troubles is not the issue. It's how we handle them is the issue. The reaction, not necessarily action. None of us have problems doing wrong. Does anybody here, we've practiced enough. Anybody here have problems doing wrong? If you have a problem doing wrong, follow me and we'll both fall in the ditch somewhere down the line, all right? What our problem is doing right. We have problems doing right. And, I'm going to try to compliment you, but you know, we're all thick-headed. You know, there may be average distance between our ears, but it's a solid mass most of the time. And I'm being nice. That's about the best I can say about us. We got, what is it to all that? We got a good heart, but we got a thick head. Huh? We got a thick head. Because you know why? Butler can tell us why. Why do we have a thick head, Dave? We don't listen. We don't listen. We don't listen. And we don't listen to the Word of God. Our problems is not in the White House, though we have problems in the White House. Our problems is not in the governor's mansion in Charleston, though we have problems in the governor's mansion. Our problems is not in the mayor's office in town, although we have problems in the mayor's. Our problem is not the church, though we have problems in the church. All right? Our problems start down at the house because there's a problem in our heart. That's where the problem originates, in our heart. It don't originate in our mind. It originates in our heart. And it goes from the heart to the home, right on down the line. But it all starts back down at the house, down the heart of the home, down where I live at. All right? That's where the problems are. And that's what we're trying to preach this. We're going to look at another phase of it here this morning. And there'll be plenty of help. If you'll listen, I promise you there'll be help. There'll be help not just for the house, but for the house of God. There'll be help here. Now, as I've been studying, as I told you last week, as I've been studying and trying to teach through the book of Ephesians, it's been wearing me out about this one body. And us being in Christ, and this is just a congregation of a body of believers. This ain't the only body of believers. This is a congregation that meet here that's in the one body of Christ for all believers. They're not, but one, but they're not two bodies. There's one body, and if you're born again, you're part of that body, and if you're not born again, you need to be today. All right? That's what's necessary. And whether it be this church or another church, it don't matter. Born again believers, all right. And we need to remember that in the home, that we are believers as well. Yeah. Cheryl Ann is my wife, soon to be 45 years. All right, just a few couple of 3 months here, 4 months. It's going to be 45 years. That's amazing. As long as Philip says, a long time. That's right. That's right. And but can I tell you that she is my sister, Cheryl. Now, we're not inbred. All right. Now, there may be some in West Virginia that's married like that. That ain't what I mean. Okay? She is my sister in Christ. And she is my wife. We can't forget that this morning. We can't forget that our spouses, they need to be, they should be, our sister or brother in the Lord. All right? And when we realize that we're in one body in Christ, then we ought to be able to get along better down at the house. Because we're one body in Christ, then we're supposed to be one body in marriage. Does everybody understand that? So, let's pray together and then we'll get with what God give us this morning. Father, I sure do love you and thank you. You have been faithful to me. Teddy said it well. Lord, I have felt the oil that you've poured over me. And you've counted me as one of yours, as a sheep. And you've took care of me. And Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, if I don't have no cancer, then glory to God. If a cancer's still there, glory to God. Lord, that matters not to me. Lord, you're in charge. I trust you completely. But I believe you've took care of all of it. So I'm just going to go ahead and praise you now. And thank you, and I'm going to do my best to serve you as long as I got breath, as long as I've got energy. I'm going to do my best to give you all God. Now, Lord, this morning I can't do none of it without you. I need you to touch me fresh of thy Holy Spirit. Cleanse my mind from anything that would be hurtful to you or anyone. Cleanse my heart. There'd be nothing like sin that would be blocking the power of the Holy Spirit in my life just now. May thy word be blessed this morning. May you give power to your word. May it speak to our heart. And may we go from this place knowing that you're in charge of our life and we're trusting and obeying in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start this morning, as we've been starting the last 4 weeks, about the preacher who had a crack in his drywall. And he kept looking at it and said, I got to get that fixed. So he called a painter. And the painter and drywall man come looked at it. And he said, sure, I'll fix it. And he puttied it and repainted it and sanded it and repainted it and looked good. And just a few weeks, the crack was back. And the preacher didn't care much for that. He called him back and he was kind of aggravated and said, your sheetrock busted again. Won't you come fix it? So he come and he apologized and he worked on the crack again and reputtied it and repainted it, sanded it, repainted it, and it looked great. In about 4 weeks, there it was, busted again. And he said, well, this ain't going to work. I'll call someone else. And he called, supposed to be the best in town, come to work on his drywall. And he come to look at it, and the man looked at it, looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it. And he said, well, can you fix it or not? He said, no, I can't fix it. Well, why can't you fix it? You're the best. He said, because that drywall crack is not your problem. Your problem is in your foundation. Now, let's get your foundation fixed, and I'll come back and fix your drywall. And this morning, that's where we're at in our homes and in our churches and in our towns and in our country. We keep trying to patch the drywall, but we won't work on the foundation. And the foundation is the issue. And it's the issue in everyone's home. It's not just the issue in some homes. It's the issue in every church. All right? It's the issue in every church. It's the issue in every city in our country that there's problems at the foundation of everything. And that's what has to be worked on, and we're going to have to look at that. Now, we've been looking at the home being a covenant with God. And we're going to give you the scripture in just a moment. And we've looked at some things. Let's think about it. We looked at us having a covenant with God. That's a binding agreement. It's a, let me see if I can give it to you, an ordered relationship between God and man, a binding agreement outlining specific duties, emphasizing loyalty and mutual obligation. That's what a covenant is. And we're supposed to have that covenant in our marriage. We're supposed to have that covenant with God. And we're supposed to have that covenant in the church, one with another. And that'll be later on in this series of messages when we preach to the church. But I want you to think about this. We've done looked at God is the one that authored the marriage. God is the one that started the marriage. He started the church. He started the marriage. We understand that. Then we looked at the order that he established in the home as God and then man and then woman, and the children are not in the authoritative place at all. It's God, man, and woman. That's the way God had put it. And that's just what the Bible says. And then we looked at the rules. Last week we looked at the rules of the covenant. Not just who made the covenant and the hierarchy or the order of the covenant, but we looked at the rules of the covenant. Remember what that was, guys? You may remember love. How about ladies? What about what was y'all's part? Yeah. What was it? Submit to your own husband. Yeah, respect. Love and respect. All right? That's the rules. There's only two rules in the covenant, love and respect. Husband, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. Wives, what are you supposed to do? Submit unto your own husbands. Period. Do it. Just do it. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. All right? And that's what we're supposed to do. All right? Now, this morning, we're going to look at maybe even one of the things that causes a problem. We're going to look at the conflict of a covenant, but we want you to understand that the covenant has a duration. The covenant has a duration, has a time limit. All right? And the covenant with God is forever. And the covenant in marriage is supposed to be forever. And the covenant in the church is forever. We're supposed to be in this thing for keeps. All right? But because of that, there's conflict. There's conflict. And that's what we're going to address. Let's look at some scripture to start with here in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And these are the same scripture we've been reading. It says, and if it seem evil, verse 15, Joshua 24, 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Excuse me. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to have to get back and make that decision, if you would, or make that commitment that we're going to serve the Lord regardless. Regardless of what anybody else does, we're going to serve the Lord. In Psalms 127, we make them decisions, them commitments, but we need to understand we can't do it by ourselves. We don't have the ability to do it by ourselves. Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking there in verse 24 and 25, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's the sayings of Jesus. Whoever listens to the Lord, huh? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Had the right foundation. That right foundation is Christ. Now look in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witnesses between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion. Listen, yet is she thy companion, that companion and the wife of thy covenant. I just want you to understand that marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. It's a binding agreement, and it starts with God, all right? Now, I want to call your attention to something that we overlook now. We find the Bible, we read our Bible, but if you're not saved, none of this is going to apply to you. It's not going to help you a bit. Because the first thing you're going to have to do is to make sure that you're truly saved, that you're born again. Now, let me ask you, just right eyeball here this morning, are you truly saved this morning? Have you, your own personal self, not mommy, daddy, husband, wife, uncle, aunt, have you yourself repented of your sins in turning from the life that you was living to place all of your faith in Jesus Christ, upon Him and His finished work on Calvary, where He died and was buried and rose again for you? Have you done that, receiving Christ as your Savior? Have you personally done that? If you've not personally done that, then none of this is going to help you at all. None of it will. Okay? What I'm trying to teach you about the foundation is the foundation of a Christian home. That's what God ordained to start with. God did not ordain a secular home. He ordained a Christian spiritual home. He only laid out rules for one, and they're not supposed to be any other. There's no clause for an unsaved home. Everybody understand me? There's no stipulations. There's no rules for an unsaved home. You ain't supposed to have an unsaved home. You're supposed to have a saved home. The man's supposed to be saved and the woman's supposed to be saved. And then when they have children, their first and only main responsibility is to see that their children are saved. That's what's supposed to be concentrated on. Not money, not careers, not finances, not college, not education, but faith in God. That's what's supposed to be concentrated on. And then it's supposed to be passed down. See, the covenant, the duration of this covenant, this duration of the marriage is forever, but it's generational. It's generational. It's not just for me and Cheryl. In my part, it's for me and Cheryl, and then it's for Marcus and Kelly, and then Philip and Lindsay, and then for Levi, and when he finds him a woman, and then for Hannah, when she finds her a guy, and then for Micah, and so forth. It's generational. And to be taught then to go, well, now, is that not what the Bible teaches? Am I not the God of... How's the scripture say? I am the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's generational, ain't it? See, it's supposed to be continual. Forever. And we're supposed to make sure that it continues on. It's not supposed to stop anywhere. Now, if a chain was broke somewhere behind me, I can't change that. But what I can do today is to make sure from here on out, it's going to be for my generation, for my house. Yeah. Huh? Amen. And I'm always talking to Marcus about his home. And I'm also, I tried my best to help Philip, but now I got to talk to Lindsay. And I'm always, every day, not sometimes, every day, I check and make sure things are okay at their home. Not sometimes, not once a week, but every day I talk to Marcus and say, is everything all right? Everything all right with you and Kelly? Everything all right? Yeah, Dad. Okay. I call Lindsay every day. I call Lindsay. Say, you all right? How's the boy? Philip, boy, y'all okay? Is there anything you need? I check on him every day. You know why? Because it's my responsibility. Right. Now, when Levi gets married and Micah gets married, and I'm going to call them. They're going to get tired of hearing from Pumpo, but I'm going to call them every day. Amen. And I'm going to make sure that it's continuing on. We say, well, I don't do that. That's okay. I'm telling you what I do. Why? Because the Bible says it's generational. The duration is forever. And it is my business. Marcus and Kelly is my business. Right. Now, they're supposed to forsake me. I'm not their business no more. But nowhere does the scripture say they're not my business. Are we okay? I'm not there, but they ain't going to worry about me. But nowhere does the scripture say I got to write them off. Huh? Now, if anybody can help me there and change that, go ahead. But I'm going to spend my life making sure that my household is with me in glory. Okay? Now, are you saved, man? Husband, are you saved? Tell me, talk to me. If you're saved, you ought to be glad about it. If you ain't glad about it, repent. Huh? If you're not happy you're going to heaven, you probably ain't going. Huh? How about you, wife? Are you saved? Huh? Are you? Are you truly? I mean, Bible saved. I talked to a man this week. I looked him eyeball to eyeball. I said, I need to ask you, are you Bible saved? No. Don't give me, if you don't know that we need to deal down right here. He said, yes, I'm saved. I said, then act like, Well, I thought we was talking, he had some problems. And I said, eyeball to eyeball, and that's what I'm asking you, eyeball, are you saved, yeah or no?
Yes.
If you're not sure, come on. Yeah, you see now, Brother Rick, dentist, Becky, and y'all get your Bibles. Come. If you're not saved, come on. Because that's the first important thing. That's the most important thing. Because nothing else I'm going to say today is going to help you. It ain't going to do you a bit of good if you're not saved. Right? So you need to be saved. And there ain't but one way to be saved. You can't have your own. You're not going to have. Now, you need to be saved yourself, yeah. But you ain't got your own way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father yet, but by me. But by me, he said, but by me. You must, marvel not, ye must be born again. All right? You must be. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Huh? We okay with that? Now, that's the truth for everyone. Now, listen to me now. God's plan that we've already saw, that's supposed to be him, man and woman. And then he done something. And we mentioned, we touched on just a little bit the other week, that he gave the man dominion over everything. Is that not what the scripture says? Now, can I tell you, it's more than just dominion over the animals. It's more than that. He gave man and woman to walk together with him. Is everybody following me? Man and woman supposed to walk with God. Talk to me if you understand that. And then he gave them dominion. And that's in charge to see that that continues. Everybody get that? See, if we raised our children from a start. Now listen to me. I know we've all had mistakes. I know we've got wayward children. We've got lost children. And I'm not ridiculing nobody. I'm not downing nobody. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But I will say this. Somewhere we dropped the ball. And we dropped the ball because of that four-letter word that wears us out. And that four-letter word is S-E-L-F. Self. That we get more concerned about self and we drop the ball on our responsibility. That's just about as simple as I know to make it. Now, when we come into this world and we find us a spouse, find us a mate, and only a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, God don't ordain. God don't have nothing to do with anything else. Everything else is a mess.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Man married a woman. Woman married a man. And it's not a. It's not a. A. Well, we'll just leave it right there. It's not one that's had surgical procedures. Huh? Because inside they're still what they were when they was born. Everybody understand that? I want to make sure that's plain enough. I don't want to get crude. I can, but I don't want to get crude. I want to make sure we understand it's for a man and a woman. Okay? I'm not going to apologize for the Bible. All right? Now, with these things that come down, and we pass things along, and our purpose is to walk with God and share that, and the duration be forever, but there's things that happen. You never see Satan in the scripture coming to man until they was a marriage. You didn't see him when he created the stars. You didn't see him when he created the animals. You didn't even see him when he created man. You didn't even see him when he put man to sleep and made him a wife. But after God brought the woman to man, then, here's the enemy. Everybody understand that? Ain't that something? He didn't show his ugly face until they was a home. And he's been after the home ever since. First thing he does when he comes to home, he deceives. He deceives. The second thing he does when he comes to home, he divides. does his best to divide. The third thing he does, every time he comes to destroy. But he can't destroy till he deceives. He can't destroy till he divides. And we're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be one in marriage. Then we're supposed to be one in the body of Christ. And any time the devil can deceive or divide, then he can destroy. Are you still with me? Now that's just laid out in the scripture. And then we have conflict. Adam and Eve had conflict. I am sure that the argument they had in the garden went on more than once. And he said, what argument was that? Lord, the woman you give me caused the problem. Eve wasn't in the closet when he said that. They right there together. Are you listening to me? And Adam starts running down his wife. It's the woman you give me is the problem. Is everybody following me? Yeah. Conflict. The woman said, well, devil made me do it. Conflict. Huh? Right or wrong? Is that scripture or not? Am I talking to you scripture or not? Right? So there's conflict. And then something happens that's supposed to have changed all that. Then God made him coats of skin. He washed them. What he done, he saved them. He atoned for their sin. He killed an innocent substitute, the shedding of blood. That's God's way for remission of sin. And he made them new creatures. Huh? But something passed on. They dropped the ball because Cain served his own God, self. Cain kills his brother Abel. You got to stop things down at the foundation. Are you following me this morning? For things to continue like it ought to continue, we're going to have the foundation right. Now, there is times that you got to replace your foundation. There's times when the foundation is cracked, you got to jack up a house and tear the stuff out and fix your footer and lay a new block. Right? So if that's your problem, then dig it out. Huh? And start fresh this morning with a brand new solid foundation founded upon the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Amen. And that'll work. We're still okay. But we have battles. We shouldn't have battles. You know why we shouldn't have battles? We shouldn't have conflict and battles with one another because we're a new creature. But when you put two sinners together, you're probably going to have a fight. Is that right? Does everybody agree to that? Well, what happens when you put two saints together? We're all agreeable when we're putting two sinners together and we find our excuse to fight. Because we're just sinners. No, I'm a saint now. I'm a born again child of God now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When are we going to live with the change that he makes in our life? And quit having conflict where it's not necessary. Because we have conflict down at the house, we're going to have conflict up the church house. We have conflict at church house, we're going to have conflict down city hall. Then we're going to have conflict down the governor's mansion. Then we're going to have conflict, down at the House of Representatives. We're going to have conflict. Everywhere just keeps on building, don't it? Are we okay? Now let me give you something real quick. I know it's Memorial Day, you've got cookouts planned, I know. But listen to me this morning. When we do have conflicts, they ought to be minimal. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Sometimes we do disagree. It's hard to walk together when we disagree. But there's a cure for some things. If we can get a handle on the Word of God, on the Scripture, if you'll listen to me this morning, if you'll listen to me as I give you the Scripture this morning, I 100% guarantee you a better home if you'll listen to me this morning. 100% guarantee. Will not fail if you'll listen this morning. Okay? When we have these conflicts. Because what our goal is the duration forever, correct? Are we okay? Are we okay? All right. Well, let's see what we can find. Let's go to the lovely book of James. Let's go to the lovely book of James. And we're going to be using the James in the New Testament and the James in the Old Testament. Proverbs. And I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. I'm going to give you 4 things if I count right. 1, 2, 3. I'll give you 4 things here. 3 in James and Proverbs and 1 in Colossians, and it'll guarantee you 100% better home. Everybody look at me. Do you want a better home? How many wants a better home? Raise your hand up if you want a better home. And you didn't raise up your hand if you didn't want a better home, then you ought to be ashamed of yourself. We ought to raise up both hands and both feet, stood, jumped up and down, says, I want a better home. Why? Because I need a better foundation. And if you think you got one, well, let's just watch and see. We'll see how you're living. Huh? Raise your hand if you think you got the perfect home. We're all going to watch you. Huh? We're going to watch you close. And we're going to judge you. We're going to look over the microscope. We're going to look close. Huh? Don't you mess up. See, we all need help, don't we? Let's look at James chapter 1. Is everybody okay? A subtitle this morning, not just the duration of a marriage, but some rules in handling the conflict to keep things going. Huh? James chapter 1. Let's start at verse 18. How about that? Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Ain't that amazing? That we're born again with the word of God. Huh? Talk to me now. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So can we agree that we're supposed to be like a Lord? Because we're born again by his word. Everybody, can we agree on that this morning? That we're supposed to be like a Lord. Now look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's your first 3 rules of stopping conflict down at the house. First 3, right there. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. If you wanna stop things before they get started, we need to be swift to hear. Yep. Right. Need to listen. Yep. Need to listen. Huh? Are we understanding? We need to listen, not just to hear, but we need to listen to the words of God. We need to then listen to the words of our spouse. We need to listen to understand. When we listen, we got to understand. You got to be swift. That's the first thing. Be swift to hear. Quickly, listen. Listen. You know you can't listen if you're talking? You know that? You can't hear if you're talking. You got to listen. You've got to listen. Proverbs chapter 18. Now, hold your finger in Proverbs. We're going to go back and forth. Is everybody okay? All right. This is so fundamental, simple. Simplicity. I love simplicity. How about Proverbs chapter 18? See, when we listen, when we truly listen, we're understanding. We're not just hearing the noise. I seen a new set of hearing aids. Y'all know where I've wore hearing aids since 1998. All right? And I've got four channels on them. And they put me a new channel. I got let me see what it says. All right, I got a restaurant channel. I got a personal channel. I got a crowd channel. And then I got a outdoor channel. I had them put an outdoor channel. That's what's in my hearing aid, all right? And it talks to me. That's how I know what to say, because it's talking to me when I push my button. All right? So when I say I got voices in my head, I do. I got voices in my head, okay? Right? But hearing is not the problem. And I seen this new set of hearing aids. It said TV, friends, and wife. And beside the wife, it said off. How many of y'all guys got that set? Huh? About every man in here has that set. Huh? Right? And I thought it was so funny that it said off and wife together. Friends, TV, off or wife, either one. All right? Interchangeable. Huh? Well, we need to listen, but we need to comprehend, to understand. When someone's talking, if men, listen to me. If we'll listen to our wife, we'll find out what's going on, what the issue is, if we'll listen. The wives, this is y'all's chance. Right? See? If we'll listen to them, they'll talk to us. Sometimes if we'll listen, they don't even have to say anything if we're listening right. If we'll pay attention, they're telling us maybe where they're hurting. Is that not one of our jobs, to keep them from hurting, to relieve them from pain? Talk to me now. Come on, guys. But we need to listen. Hey, just going through and reading a few verses ain't going to help me much if I don't look at it and study to show myself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to understand what the Bible says. I need to understand what I need to listen. I need to listen to the word of God. I need to listen to my spouse. But here's the problem. We don't listen or understand. Look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. A fool hath no delight in listening. Hear me? A fool has no delight in listening. Because listening is understanding. Huh? But that his heart may discover itself. So we don't want to listen. We're a fool. Guys, we're foolish. Women, we're foolish when we won't listen. Huh? The Bible says we need to be swift to hear. We need to listen. We need to be very quick about listening. Huh? Are we still okay? How about back to Proverbs chapter 12? Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth or heareth or understandeth, huh? Unto wise counsel is wise. Huh? We gotta listen. Back to James chapter 1. Swift to hear. Are you swift to hear? Are you swift to listen? Are you? Well, that'll help you. Are we okay? Verse 19 says, let everybody, woman, man, boy, girl, let every man be swift here. And then look at that next one. Slow to speak. Huh? Never pass up an opportunity. Everybody look at me. Never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Huh? Never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Let me say that again. I got one that's really agreeing with that. Never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. All right? Because it will hurt you. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Listen very carefully to the word of God. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. In other words, shut up. You want to stay out of trouble? Just shut up. Huh? I can just see this now in my mind on the chalkboards in the kitchen. Proverbs 21, what is it? 21, 23 on the kitchen. And when something starts, the woman's going to say, read this scripture. Huh? So we're going to be pointing at it. Men's going to be pointing at it. We're going to have it all over the house. Home Interior just got a new slogan. Huh? Whosoever keepeth his mouth. Now, what that means, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue. Now, I'm not adding to or taking away. That means keeping it shut. All right? Keepeth his soul from trouble. The scripture says you need to be swift to hear, swift to listen, swift to understand. Everybody look at me. I'm not teasing. This ain't funny. This is Bible. If when we find there's a disagreement or something ain't quite right, then don't say nothing. Listen. See what's going on. That'll take care of things down at the house, and it'll take care of things down at the church house. You know, Daddy and Mommy had this issue, and me and Cheryl have this issue. Cheryl will be, our bedroom is in one end of the house, and our utility room is on the complete opposite end in another room. And Cheryl will get in the closet in our bedroom, knowing that I can't hear, and talk to me when I'm in the utility room where she's got the washing machine running, and gets mad at me because I didn't hear what she said. Anybody got that problem? All the men's hands went up quick at that. There becomes a conflict. She comes in. Well, did you? Did I what? Well, I just told you. When did you tell me? Well, I was back here. Well, how could I? Yeah. Yeah, and I need to turn it to says off where it says wife. Now, I'm just telling you, it's more than that. It's more, we need to be swift to hear, but slow to speak. All right, both is not going to do that. Now, let me say it again. Both spouses are not going to do that because there's a conflict. One's going to be talking. When one's talking, the other needs to shut up and listen. And there may be no need for a comment. Because it takes two people to argue. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says we don't render evil for evil. Okay? We don't argue. Brother Rick, what ain't loud down at the house? What is it? No fussing. Loud down at the house. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Are we still okay? Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And let's look at verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Explanation point. How good is it? Huh? That's what it says then. Y'all want joy? Be careful how you answer. Slow to speak. Huh? That don't mean talk slow. It means don't talk at all. Huh? It ain't read my lips and it's an attitude. It's just, we okay? How about Proverbs 16, verse 24? Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. If we're going to speak, how about we speak pleasant words? Are we listening? How about back to Proverbs 15, verse 1? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Swift to hear, slow to speak, huh? And then, what's the next one? Let's go back to James. Gotta hurry. Slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. That means, if you're going to get angry, and the Bible speaks of being angry and sinning, all, but if you're going to get angry, it ought to take you a long time. For everybody that says, well, I got a hair of temper, then repent. Because you're a new creature in Christ. No Bible for hair tempers. No Bible for quick tempers. No Bible for it. Amen, preacher. Amen. No Bible for, well, my daddy, my mom. Well, your daddy and mommy were wrong too. Well, that's just the way I am. Then change.
Amen.
Well, that's just the way God made me. No, he didn't. He made you in his image.
Amen.
God didn't make you wrong.
Amen.
God didn't make you to sin. God didn't give you that freedom.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, I thought I was a free agent. Not after he saved you. My little children, I would that ye sin not. Now, any man does sin, he has an advocate with the Father. But after we become a child of God, no, we ain't got that freedom. We lose our rights. Talk to me now.
Amen.
Now, we don't like it, but no. When I was a sinner, I was free to choose God. Yes, I was. But when I trusted Christ, then I belonged to Him.
Right.
Under full authority of Him, I don't have my own way. And you don't either. Okay? We still okay?
Amen.
Slow to wrath. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Don't tell me you can't. Huh? Proverbs 14. Verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That's what the Bible says. How about chapter 15, verse 18? A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Huh? We okay? Now this is for men and women, both, you understand. Huh? How about chapter 14, verse 29? He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Wait a minute. He's listening. He that is slow to wrath listens. How about that? Huh? That's what it means. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that don't get angry quick is listening. Huh? But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So there's your three things that'll help you right quick. Are we okay? Everybody understand that? Now, if you don't get no help out of that, you just don't want no help.
That's right.
Okay? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, there's one more, and we go to Colossians, and I'll let you go. Colossians chapter 3. See, there's something happens when we have conflict, and everybody knows this. I want everybody to look this way. For all the women that can't remember nothing, and all the men that can't remember nothing. All right? This is for all of us. All right? Our memories are worthless until we argue. Then we get in our little bag of marbles where we have put everything we ever argued about in that bag. So we can bring them out and play marbles when we argue. And we use the word never and always. Well, you never and you always. You ever use them words? Well, you never. Well, you always. You know when you. You remember back. You remember when. You remember the other week, the other month, the other year. You remember 37 years, 6 months, 2 days, 4 hours, 37 minutes ago when you said to me. Is that not true? Now we can't remember our store list in our hand.
Right.
We can't remember birthdays and anniversaries. But we'll remember every offense.
Yes.
Now let's go a little deeper. We'll remember every church hurt.
Oh yeah.
Every time we was offended at the church house. Every time it went wrong at the church house, we'll remember everybody done us wrong on the job. Every bad boss. Every sorry employee. Every bad doctor. Every bad. We'll have 1,000 good nurses and 1 bad one, and we'll always remember the bad one. But the Bible says, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, it ain't just forgiven. Everybody look at me now. It ain't just forgiven. Now we hammered pretty hard last Sunday morning on loving our wife like Christ loved the church. Didn't we? Guys, we hammered on that pretty hard, didn't we? Pretty tight, wasn't it? Huh? But look here what it says for all of us. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. May I ask you, everybody look at me this morning. Does the Lord bring up what He forgave?
No, never.
in all of our wrongs, does he ever say, no, wait a minute. Didn't you repent of this 6 months ago? No. No, he forgave it and it's done. You know why we got problems down at the house? Because we don't forgive. You know why the conflicts continue? We don't forgive. You know why there's conflicts at the church house? Because we don't forgive.
Right.
We remember those things. Then four things will help us down at the house if we'll forgive the past. Well, if we forgive the past. You say, well, I can't get it out of my mind. I don't have the mind of God. No, but the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Are we still okay?
Right.
So what the Bible says, y'all talk to me now. I'm just giving you scripture. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, that just means, being humble. Well, how far are we going to draw that humbleness down? To forgiveness and forgetting all this stuff? Huh? See, we're a new creature.
Right.
We got Christ in us. Except the Lord build the house. We got to have the Lord. Is everybody okay this morning?
Amen.
I'm wanting to help you down at the house. I'm wanting to help me down my house.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, but you don't know what they done, preacher. I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to know what you done against the Lord.
Right. That's right.
He forgave you. And it's done. And he's just waiting for a great fellowship.
Yeah.
Now why don't we quit bringing up the past when we have a little argument down at the house? Why don't we be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and forgive the past?
Yeah.
I can't give you no better advice than that out of the scripture. Now, if you'll take it, if you'll listen to that, you'll have a better home. You'll have a stronger home. But can I tell you, if you're not saved, ain't going to help you. First thing is, you'll go to piano. We're going to quit. Ain't no, everybody ready to get out of here. I didn't finish, I just quit. Okay? Come back next time. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
Are you saved, truly saved? Then if you're saved, what kind of shape your home in? Is your home in rough shape? Does your home need worked on? It ain't going to be fixed unless you come to the Lord. You got to have His guidance and His help. You can't just do it on what the preacher says. You got to do it with what the Holy Spirit moves you and helps you do. I can't help all of you. But the Lord can help all of us. So if things ain't right down at the house, what you ought to do, I just stand right now. What you ought to do, y'all slip out, grab your husband and your wife, and y'all ought to make a beeline this altar and say, God, I need a little help here. Need a little help. Need a little help. I'm failing. Ain't nobody's business what it is. We're not going to put up signs on what you're coming for. But I'm just telling you, we need to be slow or swift to hear, slow to speak, huh? Slow to anger, and forgive the past. Won't you come? Won't you come? If you ain't saved, come get saved this morning. Receive Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. All right? Father, help us. We need help. Let's sing right now. Verse of song. Let's sing.